again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Underneath the lantern by the barricade, darling, I remember the way you used to wait. 'Twas there that you whispered tenderly that you loved me, you'd always be my lily of the lamplight, my own Lily Marley. Time would come for roll call, time for us to part. Darling, I'd caress you and press you to my heart. And there neath that far off lantern light, I'd hold you tight, we'd kiss goodnight. My lily of the lamplight, my own Lily Marley. Orders came for sailing somewhere over there. All confined to barracks was more than I could bear. I knew you were waiting in the street. I heard your feet, but could not meet. My lily of the lamplight, my own Lily Marley. Resting in a billet just behind the line, even though we're parted, your lips are close to mine. You wait where that lantern softly gleams, your sweet face seems to haunt my dreams. My lily of the lamplight, my only Lima lay, my lily of the lamplight, my only Lima
lay. Well, there you go. That's goes out to the She-Wolves. And that was by Vera Lynn, and I'm not sure about her. I think she's an American singer, but I don't know much about her. I won't play Marlena Dietrich's version of that song or any of these songs because Marlena Dietrich was a traitor to her country. Came to Hollywood to sell her wares and her body to the Jews instead of sticking it out in Germany. Now, she could argue that she hated Hitler. Okay, that's a position. But if she hated Hitler, then why didn't she work on getting rid of Hitler and staying in Germany as a German patriot or whatever? So I have no use for people who bug out on their people and use all kinds of excuses. Songs came from the Second War of White Fratricide. Actually, there's only been one. It started before World War I. It started a long time ago, even the Civil War. These are wars of white fratricide. While millions of white people sit around crying about what may or may have happened to the Jews, they forget entirely that 55 million people died in World War II, and most of them were white people. Next time somebody throws it up to you about 6 million Jews, say, okay, even if I grant you 6 million Jews, what about the other millions of people who weren't Jews that died, who were mostly, many, white? What about that, Jaime? Well, it is December 5th, 2014, and it's Freya's Day, and this is She-Wolf Day, and we hope the She-Wolves out there enjoy those two songs from the 30s, actually, or maybe early 40s. Well, song there by Vera Lynn about Underneath the Lamppost. That comes from World War I, I'm pretty sure. I think that song was around in World War I in Germany. You know what's funny, boys and girls, is now the television's covered with all kinds of committee meetings coming together and police committees coming together and FBI people coming together and Obama coming together to talk about this horrible state of affairs. Two or three black people got killed. While white people get murdered all the time by blacks all over the country. And hundreds, thousands of blacks getting killed by each other. And yet the whole country seems to be coming apart because of two or three blacks that may or may not have been legally or illegally killed. The grand jury, of course, has said that they're... the police were not guilty. However, let me tell you one thing, and I've told you this before. Grand juries are the weapon of the DA or the district attorney or the U.S. attorney. I wish they'd eliminate grand juries. Either they got a case or they don't have a case. The way that works, it's like the old Star Chamber, like I mentioned the other day in England. And if you don't know about the Star Chamber, go to Wikipedia and it'll probably tell you on there. I'm not sure. But check it out. But it's just another way of raking in maybe several people on one so-called offense. But these U.S. attorneys and DAs, they've got maybe a couple of weeks before this panel of grand jury people. And usually these people in the grand jury are upper middle class whites or non-whites, ex-military officers and big business retirees and things like that. And they get up there and they give the whole smear the way they see it. And there's no nobody in there arguing against the DA or the U.S. attorney. It's just him romancing around. I don't know whether it's 12 or how many people's on the grand jury. It may vary between federal and state. But he romances them around, and he's got them wound around his finger. And if he normally a grand jury is going to say, yeah, let's go to trial. It's rare that we have two grand juries that decided that the person being sought after, being chased, being zeroed in on, is not guilty. Now, that is something that I haven't seen happen very much. Almost always, when it goes to grand jury, the person will be indicted. So the thing to know is, since there's no attorney, no defense attorney allowed in a grand jury proceedings to argue with what they're saying, the DA or the U.S. attorney, you're defenseless when you go in there. The only thing you can do is ask to go out and talk to your attorney in the hall, but your attorney cannot be in there. So that's why no matter what they're looking at it, you always have to plead the fifth. Always plead the fifth. Because you're in there, it's a lopsided deal. Only one side is being heard. And you've got nothing to gain by talking. Nothing at all. So if you ever get drug into a grand jury, plead the fifth. Name, address, that's it. That's it. They say, well, we blah, 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 we're going to send you to a jail for contempt. Say, well, I'm sorry, it's still fifth. Normally they won't do it because usually whoever they're after, if it's not you, you may know that person, and that puts you in legal danger. And the judge, by law, cannot entrap you into talking yourself into trouble in a grand jury. So always stick to the fifth. Always stick to the fifth, or don't talk. You probably think I'm sometimes go overboard on this stuff, but believe me, it can cost you your whole life. It can cost you 20, 30, 40, 50 years or life just by talking. Yeah, and thinking that you're doing the right thing. I'm always telling you, there is no such thing as equality. Well, they always say, to get around that, they always say, under the law. Oh, yeah, right, under the law. Who wrote the law? You have equality under the law. In other words, if the law says so. Otherwise, you have privileges. Technically, you only have privileges. So when Obama says, we're all equal under the law. Wait a minute, who wrote the goddamn law? Most of the guys that wrote the laws are crookeder than a dog's hind leg. So that's bullshit, too. Take it to the bank, baby. Terrible Tommy's talking. The next time anybody tries to argue with you about, Tom Metzger or somebody else says there is no such thing as equality, and they say, they might say, well, racially, there may not be equality. May be inequality here because there is all kinds of inequality. There is no such thing as equality except for death. That's pretty damn equal. But you just tell them, say, and then they say, under the law. That's how you're equal. You're equal under the law. In other words, whatever the ruling class decides the law is going to be by their bought-off congressmen, senators, and Supreme Court, that's the law. What a fucked-up deal. I even hear the right wing and people who are racial talking about that, under the law. We're equal, but only under the law. And so they're screwed up too. You got to stick to the fact that there is no equality. There is only privileges. You know, I've done something yesterday and today that I haven't done in years, and so don't get all excited. One of our lone wolves who has access to Cuban cigars sent me three Cuban cigars. Two of them I've given to our friends, and so one of them I'm smoking, and I used to smoke cigars now and then, and I like to smoke a cigar, but I haven't smoked a cigar in years. But I'm telling you, I'm going to smoke one of them, even in tribute to one of our lone wolves. He's down in, well, he's in a southern state. He escaped Chicago. Yeah, he's lucky to escape Chicago, but he made it out of there, and now he's laying on the beach someplace. But he sent me these cigars, and I thank him very much. But I'll tell him, you don't need to send me any more. I don't want to get back into the habit. Well, tomorrow night I'm taking my main squeeze to her Christmas present, and that's going to be a tribute to Elvis Presley event here not too far from where we live. Christmas show, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. So tomorrow night, I'm going back to see Elvis. Forget whether I said anything about it, you know me. But I've been watching a series called The Pretender. It's on Hulu. I don't know whether it's on Netflix or not, but I got it on Hulu. And it's about a guy who was taken by a secret government operation as a little baby, a little kid, and raised in this institution where there was just him and maybe a few other kids that were virtual prisoners because they had super IQ and they had powers, and not so much powers that they could move things around, but they had powers of figuring things out. Well, this kid escapes as he gets older, in his teens. He escapes, and the whole thing is every show is they're desperately trying to get him back into the institution, and he keeps changing his occupations and everything else and goes all over the world, and they keep chasing him. I think you'll enjoy this one. It's pretty good. It's a little bit like that movie, Catch Me If You Can, by, what the hell was his name? Leonardo DiCaprio? Yeah. But this is many more different stories. And he's able to become military man or policeman or businessman or doctor. He can go into any place and do it perfectly. Well, looks like we got a little payback here over in Missouri, Kansas City. A 15-year-old boy died Thursday night in spite of the doctor's efforts to save his life after he was deliberately struck by a car in a collision that severed both his legs. According to Kansas City, Missouri's WDAF-TV, the boy was exiting the Somalia Center of Kansas City when a driver in his 30s rammed his car into both of them. The driver reportedly targeted the boys because of their Muslim faith. You know, they put that faith in there to make it sound nicer, okay? The attack took place on Thursday at around 5:30 p.m. as the boys were getting into the parked car. Quote, "It became pretty clear that this was not an accidental crash. There is a considerable amount of evidence that leads us to believe it was intentional," said Sergeant Bill Mahoney of the Kansas City Police Department. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you bring all these Middle Easterners into the United States? They shouldn't be here. I have no problem with them in the Middle East. We should be out of there. We shouldn't have any military in the Middle East. But when they ram them into here, into white communities, these things are going to happen. And it's going to get more that way. You know that some of these Muslims coming in here from other countries are going to be killing white Americans, and there probably has been quite a few killed by these newcomers because they don't, a lot of times they don't even identify them. The suspect reportedly rammed the boys and the second car, then tried to flee the scene, but his vehicle was too badly damaged, police said, and he then tried to run away but was apprehended. The boy's family and other people involved in the Somali Center told WADF that the suspect has been threatening them for months, even waving a gun at some of the attendees and telling them he was going to kill them for being Muslim. A month or two ago, he came to the Somali Mall, two blocks from here. Things got bad. They started arguing. He pulled a gun, said Abdul Muhammad, a man who knows the victim, and talked to them on the TV station. Okay, let's see what the press said here about this.
Okay. You've been following this developing story here tonight. A 15-year-old boy is dead tonight after what police
react to
not very loud.
But they caught him and he is in custody. They say he's a male in his 30s. The 15-year-old's legs were severed in the crash. Police say the boy lost a lot of blood and family confirmed to me that he has passed away. A second
person. Let me see if I can get that any louder.
In stable condition. Police 15-year-old's legs were severed in the crash. Police say the boy lost a lot of blood and family confirmed to me that he has passed away. A second person was injured but is in stable condition. Police say this was no accident. Family and people heavily involved with the mosque say a man had been threatening people in the Muslim community for months now on Facebook. Several others involved with the mosque say the same man pointed a gun at them, threatening to kill them because of their Muslim religion.
Well, I'm sorry about the audio on that. I'm going to try to improve that by running my outputs into the preamp and back again. But I'm suspicious of that story. You notice how they identified the person who ran over the Somalians as 30 years old and didn't say the race. He might have been black. In fact, it's a good possibility he was black. And they don't want anything on the news nowadays that's anti-black or appears to be anti-black. So I'll see if I can get some more information on that story.
More fallout tonight from an ABC 22 investigation we first told you about yesterday.
Tonight, the Montgomery County Sheriff is speaking out about a series of racially charged text messages allegedly sent by several of his deputies, deputies who are now on leave. Natasha Williams broke this story, and she has the very latest. Natasha?
In all, Jack, five officers are being investigated, and the sheriff tells us
she's black.
Two of them are on paid administrative leave. They are Captain Thomas Flanders and Detective Michael Sullenberger. Now, Captain Flanders oversees the Montgomery County Jail, and Detective Sullenberger is with the Internal Affairs Unit and a member of the SWAT team. The sheriff says those two were the worst offenders in the text exchanges. The texts are graphic and disturbing. One, a racially insensitive joke. Sheriff Plummer confirms the texts you're about to see were exchanged by Captain Tom Flanders and Detective Michael Sullenberger. It reads, "What do apples and black people have in common? They both hang from trees." The texts date back to 2011 and 2012, and some as recently as 2013. ABC 22 obtained hundreds of pages of the messages from a concerned resident on Friday. Most of the messages depict words meant to specifically demean African Americans. One reads, "Very simply put, they're N-word, son." And another one reads, "We stopped at a Walmart in Birmingham. There are a lot of black people in Alabama. It's all Martin Luther King's fault." Again, Montgomery County Sheriff Bill Plummer confirms those texts were exchanged by Flanders and Sullenberger. He has placed those two officers on paid leave, while three more are being investigated for their roles in the texting.
We've been working well with the community for years. I've been the sheriff for 6 years.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, all I can
do anything
to build
keep
relations
my job.
In this community. And I'm very upset about this because I feel like these five individuals have taken this organization three steps backwards.
We still hope that this is not a culture that exists within inside of the department.
We spoke with NAACP President Derek Forward, and he told us he met with Montgomery County Sheriff Phil Plummer on Sunday to make him aware of the complaint
you
that
ought to
filed
see the
with
picture
his office.
Of these people.
Forward says he remains hopeful that a thorough investigation
will be
carried out.
Well, you can imagine what they look like.
Over the years, we have had a great relationship with the sheriff's department, so I don't look for that to change.
Yeah, that sheriff's been kissing their ass.
Sheriff Plummer wants to do the right thing. He will continue to do the right thing. That we will take him at his word that he's going to take swift action.
Yeah.
Now, the sheriff says if the allegations are true, the men will be terminated. He expects there will be a decision in a couple of weeks. Now, we reached out to both officers. We could not reach Captain Flanders, and we were told no comment by Detective Sullenberger. Now, we broke this story last night, and we'll continue to follow it on ABC 22 online
and
ABC22.com.
Natasha Williams, you got your big story. How about that? Yeah. Compare that to nigger crime. This took place in a county over in Ohio. And it takes place all over the country because people are going to talk. White people are going to talk. They're going to say how they feel a lot of times. And they think they have a private line there. They can say something. And some bitch from the TV station tries to track it down and everything. If she chased black criminals around like she's trying to hang white deputies, she'd probably get fired. Well, it's not going to happen to our lone wolf cops because they keep their mouths shut. They don't go to any meetings. They don't join anything. They don't even laugh at nigger jokes from other guys and like that. And they're deep cover, and that's the way we want them. Oh, all this wishy-washy, mishy-mashy shit on the conservative right wing in this country drives me up the wall. This Republican Party especially, when they talk out of both sides of their mouth, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and they're going to get Obama out of office. Listen to this and see if you can recognize what a bunch of crap...
Talking going on, but nobody's talking about what really needs to be...
Wait a minute.
...be done, and that's the removal...
Wait a minute.
...Obama from office. Now, they just listen to the program, and there's a lot of talking going on, but nobody's talking about what really needs to be done.
Yeah, what needs to be done?
And that's to remove Obama from office. Now,
yeah.
They've talked about him ever since he got in office,
yeah.
But they didn't get down to the bottom line. He's got to go.
I agree. And listen, what we're getting to here, we're working on Founders of America built in a reset button into the United States Constitution in case...
You tell him, Mr. Right-Winger. Oh, yeah, we're going to get Obama out of there. You bullshit, you're going to get him out of there.
Anything like this would happen. And our Congress has the power and authority to impeach both Obama and Biden. Biden, of course, with the expectation he would only continue.
You're not going to impeach Biden. You can go through all the motions and all that like idiot from Ohio, the speaker. We're going to sue the president. Well, where did that suit go? Where did that lawsuit go? Just like all the rest. They're all bullshitting.
The multiple deeds and abuses of power of Obama. And then the third in command, the third in
success. What about the abuses of George Bush? They were even bigger. I mean, at least up until now, the taking a country to war over bullshit and killing people for wrong reasons and so forth like that.
Session is the Speaker of the House. If we could get someone like Representative Louis Germer or Congressman Steve King or someone like that into the speakership, impeach Obama and Biden.
If the dog hadn't stopped his shit, he'd have caught the rabbit too, Mr. Conservative right-wing Republican. You're more of a pain in the ass than the other side. At least I know the other side exactly what they're doing. You Republicans keep trying to shuffle around and mishmash and yim-yam and gonna impeach, gonna do all this shit. You ain't gonna do anything.
The Speaker of the House could take over the executive branch functions, which would rein in the persecution of conservative Americans by the Internal Revenue Service. The neglect of their job and persecution of...
Well, let me tell you one thing. These are not conservative Americans. There are very few real conservatives left. They're like dinosaurs. They had some pretty good conservatives back in the 50s and the 40s even, but the real conservative is very hard to find. These guys call themselves conservative today would have been called flaming reds back when I started out. Yeah.
American citizens by the Department of Homeland Security. All of these constitutional and republic abuses could be reined in by the Speaker of the House until the next elections could restore the executive.
Well, well, well. Isn't that wonderful? So there you have it. The braying of the ass. Here's some insanity from the Catholic Church, or at least somebody that belongs to the Catholic Church.
They believe that freedom is license to do whatever you want. That's why they're, quote, non-judgmental. They made a judgment when they made themselves non-judgmental. They believe in no holds barred. They don't like the three dreaded words in the English language we got from our Jewish friends, thou shalt not. They don't want to be told anything, which is why they die prematurely, they're unhappy. That's why we have a disproportionate number of agnostics and atheists in the asylum. All of this...
Wait a minute. A disproportionate number of people in the asylum are atheists and agnostics? Come on, fella. I'd say there's far more Christian fanatics in the asylums than atheists or agnostics.
This is true. Now, look, they've got some serious problems. I'm talking here about the militants. I'm not talking about your average atheist or agnostic.
Right, right.
They're not more of a threat than a lame Catholic is. But I am talking about the organized group. It's only a small percentage of them, but every year they have to try and do something to stick it to us. And like American Atheists, when do they have their annual convention every year? On Good Friday.
And you say,
see, it's all directly, it's all the middle finger in the face of Christians.
And you say atheists and agnostics die earlier and because they're unhappy, and there's more of them in mental institutions?
Absolutely. I have a book coming out in March, I'll be back to it, which details all of this stuff in great, great detail. You take a look at people.
This is Bill Donahue of the he's president of the Catholic League, spouting off that the atheists and the agnostics, there are more of them in the nut houses than Christians. Well, that's a bunch of bullshit. I know right now. Yeah, it is. If you don't believe me, check it out, man.
Secularist, and you compare them to people of faith, there's a huge difference when it comes to health and happiness, mental health, physical health, and degree of happiness. Now, look, they got to work it out. Fine. You know, I'll help pay for the therapy. Just keep your hands, your mitts off the Catholics during Christmas.
I love this guy. I do. And that's the great Bill Donahue, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, that's really wonderful. Yeah. You steal pagan holidays, turn them into baby Jesus holidays, and then you get upset when the pagans get upset with you for doing it. I'm telling you, there's nothing like this, you know. You know, the Christmas celebration, anybody that knows anything knows what it's really all about. It's not about a man-god or anything else. Some Jewess coming home and telling her husband, "Hey, Jaime, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have God. Oh, God impregnated me. Oh, what do you think, Jaime? Are you nuts, babe? You're one nutty Jew, Mary. How are you going to get God through that vagina?" You guys like this come out and say crazy stuff like that, and they don't get confronted by anybody because they control a lot of the media. And media, anyhow, it's funny. Did you notice that Joe Biden's had, looks like, plastic surgery? I don't know. That's what I hear. They've been doing some work on him, and I heard comment on the, what was the show? Driving down the road, I happened to tune in to Glenn Pecker, and he was going on about it, but who knows? There's not much real facts come out of that show, but it is gives you a belly laugh sometime, but they say Biden looks like he's had plastic surgery and he's beginning to look like an Asian. The other guy on the show said that Biden's got less wrinkles than his 17-year-old son. Well, here's a typical way the Jews fight, and a lot of Christian Zionists and others do the same thing. Are you interested? Are you internet savvy with an interest in exposing racists to consequences and willing to work for free? There's a job opening you may be interested in. The moderator of Racist Getting Fired says she's ready to give up control of her Tumblr blog shortly after its launch after receiving threats to reveal her personal information online. Well, she don't like what she gets. That's what Mordecai Levy of the Jewish Defense Organization used to do. That's one of their main weapons, is finding a racist and putting out where he works and stuff, or where she works. Getting them fired. I mean, what slimy bastards they are. The woman, who has not revealed her name, shares screenshots of racist comments and images posted on social media, along with contact information for the person's employer, and urges followers to lodge complaints. She posted the apologies of several of these racists who were fired or suspended from their jobs, along with statements of apology from the employers who are contacting the blog's followers. Racist Getting Fired attracted nearly 40,000 followers in a matter of days, along with about 15,000 submissions in the first 8 hours of his existence, apparently proving comedian Chris Rock's quip in the aftermath of the grand jury decision on the Ferguson police shooting. Quote, I just found a new app that tells you which one of your friends is a racist, unquote. It's called Facebook. The blogger set new guidelines for submissions after a vengeful ex-boyfriend set up a phony Facebook account and posted racist remarks he attributed to his ex-girlfriend and sent a screen capture to racist getting fired. But she said Tuesday that the blog had grown too quickly, too fast, and she was trying to find someone else to take over after receiving online threats. Well, what do you think you're going to get, babe? Somebody's going to off you, probably. Quote, I began this blog much too publicly with an excess of personal information. I could have foreseen the skyrocketing of attention this blog has received. The blogger posted, quote, I was not prepared for the legal threats, you know. I wanted to get them, but by God, I didn't want them to get me. Not for being hunted by 4chan doxers and other anti-social justice websites, so it's too late for me, unquote. She asked for at least 5 new moderators to take over the work she'd started, but she reminded candidates to closely guard their personal data before becoming involved. Well, that's impossible. There is no way anymore anybody can hide. If they really want you, if we want you, we can get you. If they want us, they can get us. For your safety and for the longevity of this movement, you need to be damn well versed in the language of online security. You need to be able to mask your presence and cover your tracks, he said. I will only consider serious inquiries. Well, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that stuff. They can say all the stuff they want about me, and they're not going to get anywhere.
That Meska, he be racist. We're going to expose his ass.
Well, good. Expose me, because I is a racist.
You're a white supremacist, too.
Yeah, expose me. I'm a white supremacist.
Meska be a hater. He a hater. Try to get him to lose his job.
Well, that is his job. This is my job. I'm not going to lose my job. I created my job. I run my job. I control it entirely.
Meska, you just don't fight fair. You don't fight fair.
Oh, well, what's fair? What's fair? Fair is I win. Unfair is I lose.
Looks like the battle of the keyboard has begun, baby.
If anybody ever tells you they don't know where God hangs out, well, he hangs out in a prison. Because every time a guy gets in there, he claims he finds, maybe not God, but he found Jesus. Because Jesus is God, so he's found God. Well, here's an ex-police chief who boasted about being corrupt. He wants out of prison after finding God. Former Pennsylvania police chief serving time in prison for extorting nearly $8,000 from undercover FBI agents he thought were drug dealers.
Yeah, yuck, yuck.
Has asked a federal judge to reduce his sentence, saying he has found God behind bars. East Washington Borough Police Chief Donald Solomon pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 11 years in prison in January 2013 for extorting $7,800 from 2 FBI agents believing they were drug dealers, telling them, I'm the best cop money can buy. 11 years for $7,800, that seems a little steep. Solomon provided the agents with protection during 2-stage drug deals and promised to buy them police-issued stun guns. The Federal Appeals Court in September ordered U.S. District Judge Joy Flowers Conte to resentence the 58-year-old Solomon, saying Conte had wrongly increased Solomon's punishment under guidelines for drug and extortion offenses. Solomon's public defender, Elsie Long, argued in a memorandum submitted to the court that the former police chief's sentence should have been between 30 and 37 months. Now, that's too little. The other, he got too much, and then she wants too little. Long has requested a further reduction in sentencing, saying in the words of his pastor, Solomon, quote, has seen the error of his ways and done everything in his power to rehabilitate himself, unquote. Attached to the court memorandum, Long included certificates showing Solomon had completed spiritual and rehabilitation programs at the federal prison in Oakdale, Louisiana. Yeah, there's a lot of people finding God down there in Oakdale. Long also stated that Solomon's troubles began after his wife divorced him, and that his low-paying police job and lack of benefits put him into debt, causing him to be depressed. So he went out and made a deal with the drug dealers. Well, that seems normal. Cops making deals with drug dealers? Are you kidding? If every cop was in prison in the United States for working with drug dealers, boy, I'll tell you, there would be thousands of them in there. Not even including FBI and CIA involvement in drug pushing. Sounds like the conservative right-wingers are beginning to hedge their bets. Listen to this.
History, when one culture or one race or one religion overwhelms another culture or race, what happens?
Well, it depends on what you mean by overwhelms.
Well,
if it's,
in numbers. This is what La Raza knows, and the other Hispanic rights groups that are actually calling for the return of the Spanish territory, which could be almost half the United States. When Saudi Arabia, no Christians in a Saudi Arabia, just the Muslims, Arabian sect. Bosnia, they're ethnic cleansing in Lebanon right now. Egypt, did I just mention Bosnia? When one race or culture overwhelms another culture, they run them out or they kill them. And it's a bigger issue than just being Democrats. And they know in numbers, once the numbers are so vast, there's no, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do.
Well, and here's an interesting, not a counterpoint, but an interesting additional point to that, I guess. You know, what protects us in America from any kind of ethnic cleansing is the rule of law, of course. And the rule of law used to be unassailable, used to be taken for granted in America. And now, of course, we have a president who disregards the law when it suits his interests. And so, you know, while I normally would answer that by saying, Steve, you know, of course we have the rule of law, that could never happen in America. I wonder what can happen. I still don't think it's going to happen in America, but I have to admit that things are strange and they're happening.
Now, listen, here's more of the right wing. They're playing with fire. Conservative strategist Richard Viguerie, who's a right-wing type Morris Dees, predicted that the executive, in fact, Richard Viguerie and Willis Carter have had connections over the years, the executive action would ignite a civil war. And Phyllis Schlafly likened Obama's announcement to the attack on Fort Sumter, which triggered the Civil War, while Glenn Pecker, making one of his trademark prophetic predictions, feared that the move could launch a race war. Wow, things are looking better all the time. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican, Mike Kelly, and Republican Representative Louie Gohmert have similarly warned that executive action will tear apart this country. Well, we've got 20 million of the bastards in here already. When are you going to start doing something about them tearing apart the country? I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. And lead to violence. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, the immigration advisor behind Mitt Romney's self-deportation plan. What a jerky thing that was. Even spoke with a radio show caller about the prospect of whites facing ethnic cleansing in the U.S. if Latinos, greasers, become a majority. Whoa. You ever hear any of these guys talking about Simpson Mazzoli, these Republicans, when they were in control? And we passed Simpson Mazzoli, and they let it die? They didn't fund it or anything else? These guys are all goddamn liars, all of them. And they're playing with fire, I'm telling you that, because it very well could ignite a war in the streets. That's okay with me. At least if we have to go down, we can go down fighting. Boy, some of these guys are getting more radical all the time on the right. Listen to this.
This policeman, who did absolutely nothing wrong according to the grand jury and according to everyone who looks at the facts, he's been quote-unquote fired. He resigned. He gets no severance. He basically has no way to make a living. Where's he going to go and get a job?
Well, they ruined him.
Well, I'll put this plug in. They've got a GoFundMe to give him money. I'm giving him money.
I'm going to give him money too.
I hope a million Americans give him $5. Then he doesn't have to work. He could have been killed. He was attacked first. He didn't pull his gun first. Michael Brown, for whatever his reasons, attacked him, hit him, then tried to grab his gun, and the gun went off in the struggle. Michael Brown got hit in the hand only. And then Michael Brown left, and like Trayvon Martin, who was already in his dad's place, he came back and wanted more. And that's what happened.
Yes, grand jury, they're a group of ordinary people, and they spent plenty of time examining everything, both the evidence and the witnesses, and they came to a conclusion, and that's our system of government, and I think we ought to accept it.
Yeah, okay, well, I have in past shows we've discussed this, and with the facts at hand, I have agreed with your contentions here, but there is now evidence, and there are now reports that the grand jury hearing, okay, was corrupted. That the grand jury was not proper. It was not properly conducted. It was conducted in an extremely biased manner. If that is true,
hey, stupid! All grand juries are corrupted because they're in favor of the system, and. That's the nature of a grand jury. They should be eliminated, period, no matter which way they come down on a certain case. The grand jury is a holdover from the old Star Chamber of Britain. And like I said before, they're all corrupt.
I'm glad he's dead. He deserves to be dead. He was a thug. He had a lifetime of thuggery, and his dad was a convicted drug dealer. Please. Now, what their argument is, and I'm a little embarrassed for you here, Brent, in my opinion, the argument was the prosecutor didn't push for an indictment. That's not unusual. It's not the average, but it's not unusual. The prosecutor said, look, if it was up to me, I would not have even called a grand jury. I just wouldn't have. I'd have done nothing because there's no evidence. But he presented all the evidence and let the grand jury decide.
Listen to some more of this beating of the breast by the right-wing Tea Party Republicans. God, how many decades do I have to listen to this crap? Many conservative leaders and GOP politicians have apparently missed the memo that impeachment is a Democratic myth. Activists including Alan West, Tony Perkins, Phyllis Schlafly, she must be 100 years old, and Sandy Rios are now using the terms of the executive action as an opportunity to call for Obama's impeachment. Others are going one step further, calling for Obama's arrest. Anti-immigration activist William Gein urged county sheriffs to apprehend the president. You know that's not going to happen. It'd be cool if it did. I'd like to see that. While talk show radio Rick Wiles, never heard of him, said he dreams of a Marine raid on the White House. Representative Steve King, Republican of Iowa, floated the I word, and his Republican colleagues from Alabama, Mo Brooks, said that Obama's actions not only warrant impeachment, but also a 5-year prison term. Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, spoke in more menacing terms. Quote, if they don't impeach him for this, then they will lose all credibility and throw us into a true constitutional crisis because they will have failed to do their job, leaving the people with the necessity to pursuing other options to stop him. How many times have you heard this over the years? You got a Democrat in there, and sometimes it's just the opposite, but they beat their chest and say, oh my God, we got to get him and we got to walk up there and arrest him and all that. And it's all bullshit. It's all stage managed. They're not going to do anything. Obama's going to finish his tour of duty and go home and take his corruption back to the land of Lincoln corruption in Chicago. But, you know, they get the sheep all excited, you know.
get the sheep all excited for a while. And then some poor bastard goes out and tries to carry through one of these acts, and it gets his ass blown away, or they get him, give him 100 years, and all these bastards will say, oh, well, we didn't mean that. We didn't mean a shooty guy. We didn't mean any violence. We don't believe in that. We believe we're under the law, under the Jew law, and back away from it. I'm sorry. I just despise the Republican Party even more than the Democrat Party. Because they're such damn cowards and crazy people. So, well, the Democrats are too, but at least they're out in the open with it. I mean, if you say a Democrat's insane, he's obviously insane. Here's some more quotes from these guys beating their chests. Michael Perotka, a Maryland GOP elected official and religious right activist, warned that Obama's announcement was an act of treason and further proof that he is seeking to destroy America. Committed governors and county executives, Polka explained, should resist this in every way they can by sending a message to Obama that they are not abiding by it. We're still going to either incarcerate or seek to remove and deport those who are here illegally. After there's 20 million already in the country, you say that? You lying bastard. Gein also urges Americans for legal immigration support to resist the new immigration policy, saying that Americans loyal to our republic, you know, all of a sudden they dig up the old republic stuff, you know. We're living under an empire, stupid. Haven't you figured that out? And our flag and the Constitution, which has been dead for 100 years, 150 years at least, are required to rebel en masse against an enemy, foreign or domestic, that attempts to destroy our nation from within, as Obama is attempting to do by decreeing amnesty for millions of illegals. He told his group's members that they must resist using any means necessary. The American public, now watch, you're going to get a bunch of militia guys beating their chests now. We're going to go after them with guns and, you know. The American public media and the lawmakers must rise up and stop Obama by any means necessary. Otherwise, America descends into a form of oligarchy. Well, America is an oligarchy, the rule by the few. And they go on by saying dictatorship that destroys our freedoms and the way of life that every American soldier and taxpayer has sacrificed to sustain. Then this Gein from the Liberty or Tea Party or whatever warned that there's a plot to replace the current stock of Americans. Why don't you say white people, you chicken shit? Throw us out of our jobs, homes, and elections, and replace it with a population, a greaser population of Mexicans and everybody else from all over the place, Somalians, you name it, that I guess is more agreeable to their political agendas or worldview. Why don't you say non-whites? Overpowering the white people. And Kobach alleged that Democrats have a long-term strategy of replacing American voters, why don't you say white people, you chicken shit, with illegal alien swarthy Mexicans, recently legalized aliens, resulting in a locked-in vote for socialism. There we go. The old Republican canard socialism. Don't you realize that the whole military is a socialist operation? Old age retirement is socialism created by, who was that German leader way back? One that was the leader of Germany during the First World War. Anyhow, I forget for right now. Even the post office is part of a socialism. So there's nothing wrong with good, honest socialism. The only thing wrong with it is the Republicans and the those people hate it. You know, predatory capitalists hate anything like that. But look at the countries that are doing best. I just saw the report on Russia TV last night. The countries doing the very best in the world are the Nordic countries, and they're very socialist. Denmark is the top of the heap. Yeah. Now this right-wing beating of the chest goes on and on and on. You're going to hear a lot more of it. And unfortunately, there are a lot of white guys that are going to go out and uncork and shoot up the town, and then which will get them in prison for the rest of their life, and it'll gain nothing unless they touch the right chord. You can't fight this stuff by just blowing up and going out and going crazy. You got to use a rifle, not a shotgun. You know what I mean, Mr. FBI? Yeah, and you got to keep your powder dry till the right time, baby. They don't talk about James Earl Ray very much, but if you'll read the Mind of an Assassin book, he was very cool. He tracked that son of a bitch all over the country. Finally, when he got the really, really good opportunity, he set it up and did it. A real prototype lone wolf. I'm not saying necessarily that it benefited our race by shooting the bastard or not, but at least the guy who decided to do it did it and got it done. You know, the Christian right goes on and on and on about how somebody's after him, trying to destroy him, trying to undercut him, trying to kill him. And this old Jimmy Swaggart's son was on there saying gay rights activists would love to behead Christians. I've never heard of a homosexual saying they want to behead Christians. Have you? Anyhow, this is the same show that Johnny Clary, that I had worked with me early on, and decided he couldn't make any money working with me because I wasn't making any money. So he goes with the into the preaching thing out there in Oklahoma. And but God took him home a few weeks ago, I guess. I don't know exactly when. Johnny Lee Clary, who loves the baby Jesus, got taken home to the Father. And he wasn't an old man either, a lot younger than I am. Let's listen to what the Swaggets are saying. They're coming. They're always coming after us. They act like there's a persecution of Christians in this country. I don't see any persecution of Christians. I see people that change their minds and say other things. But I don't see the kind of persecution you're thinking about.
The greater Houston area watching, you need to have your voices heard.
Amen.
You need to go online and get the email address for the mayor's office and flood that office with your disapproval. The war on the church and Christianity and our beliefs, and the war on God, it's really what it, listen, listen, all of this is to shut the Bible out. They want the Bible gone.
That's it.
And I'm going to make a statement. These people that are trying to do this in Houston, the only difference between them and ISIS, those thugs in Iraq, is those here cannot cut chopper heads off.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. Their heart is the same. The heart is the same.
Tell them, brother. Tell them, brothers.
If they could silence us that way to intimidate others, that's exactly what they would do.
They cut your head off, man. They're going to cut your head off. They're hiding around the corner of your church. I'm going to get your ass. Well, that's about it for today. That's about all I can take for today. Probably more than you could take for today. This whole damn thing is like a zoo. It's a carnival. It's letting loose of the mental institutions, letting them all over the street, let them run the government. This is insane. It is. I mean, I'm talking about what is going on now and has been going on for a few years, is total insanity on all sides. You know, it's funnier than hell, but it's sad as hell, and it's nerve-wracking as hell. I can't believe some of these people. They get on TV every day. Do you think I get on TV? The only TV I get on is I turn my camera on myself down here in the bunker. Okay, I'll be back with you tomorrow. No, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. That's a Sling Blade show tomorrow. And then I'll be back with you live on Monday. Yeah. I'm threatening you. I'm going to be there. And if I didn't offend you today, if I offended the right wing or the Republican Party that loved the God, the baby Jesus, and the apple pie and all that stuff, well, tune in Monday, and I'll come back and try to offend you some more. Bye-bye. Shut up.